message, really. He's always spot on. You know, we all live by faith, amen? And I'm just very grateful for all that, those that are here, those that are listening, and those that aren't here. Keep them all in prayer. You know, it's a beautiful, I want to say, spring day today. And we were blessed to have a light winter so far. And I understand, you know, Shelby and I, we were talking, and, you know, and it's like, you know, it's too nice of a day. You know, it's just too nice of a day. So I want to just thank all of those that are here who are serving the ministry so that the message can go out. And I believe that God is going to honor those that are here today dramatically. So get ready for your blessing. I really, truly believe that. You made a choice. You could have done yard work for a beautiful day, or you could sacrifice your morning and come spend the day with the Lord and hear His word. And you made a choice. You made a choice to serve Him, to help work alongside of the work of the ministry, and to also, you know, hear a word. So give yourselves all a hand of praise. Amen? Amen. And we're on, right? Okay. Well, God has really been moving on my heart recently as I made a commitment and stepped out in faith to constantly listen to His voice and hear what He is saying in this hour. And how many understand that God is alive and He's doing something every day? He's doing something every day. And if you know this book called the Holy Bible, and there are a lot of listeners around the world that may have never even seen this book before, but in here there are many, many stories about how God was interacting with the prophets and the apostles throughout history, and He was doing something. How many people understand that? You look through all kinds of stories where God was telling the prophets and the apostles to go do this, go do that, you know, this is what's going to happen, and yada, yada, yada. He instructed them to do things, just like when Moses was going to go to Pharaoh and say, look, I'll set my people free, and he wouldn't listen, and God says, well, I'm going to send plagues out, you know, and these plagues are going to come, and I want you know, to protect the people by putting some lamb's blood around the doorposts, and, you know, and they'll be protected, and the others will be, you know, punished. How many people heard that story before? Okay, you see how God was interacting with the those that were hearing what God was doing, and at the same time, the prophets were there to instruct the peoples, to guide them and lead them and direct them. And God's alive and living, and He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if He was moving and operating with those back then, He's moving and operating with us today. And I think Pastor Sam said, I don't know if it was either Wednesday or last Sunday or what have you, but he mentioned about that God's desire is that we would all prophesy, that we would all receive that prophetic mantle, so to say, and be able to hear God's voice and understand what He's doing. Well, I feel an obligation, especially for those that are under this ministry, those that have listened, because I know that there are many, many, many listeners on our website that don't even obtain or go to a church, or maybe don't even have the access to get to a church, but they have embraced this ministry. And Jesus made a comment. He says, I don't pray for the whole world, but I pray for those that You have sent. And I truly believe those that are hearing My voice are ones that have been sent by God, who want to protect them, who want to make sure that they're blessed, because deep down inside their hearts have been crying out, Lord, help me, have mercy, or wanting to live a good life, wanting to live a righteous life, wanting to live a life in Him. I've been really trying to understand what God is doing. And in the midst of this, he's been speaking to me about some things that are going to be happening. And I mentioned about four plagues that are going to be poured out and things of that nature. Now, this isn't a time to get upset. This is a time to rejoice and be grateful and praise him and be glad. But I also want everyone to understand that we need to become obedient, and we have a responsibility. We have a job to do. How many people understand that God did not call you just to sit there? He called you because you have a job. And I'm going to explain to you what he's been showing to me. He had me in, first of all, he explained to me about these plagues, and one of the first plagues that is being released is a plague of hatred. And alongside of that plague of hatred is anger. Then he had me in the book of Jonah. And I don't know if anyone understands the book of Jonah, but God loves the whole world, right? And he gave his only begotten son, and whoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Okay, now we all understand that his son is that divine spirit that's inside of us. In everyone around the world, God has placed his son, which is the divine spirit of God, which is really your unction, your anointing, your inspiration. You know, what makes you, you know, I want to say feel impressions and things of that nature. That's the spirit of God. That's God's son. You know, religion in itself wants you to all, you know, declare that the prophet of Jesus is his son. But yes, he was. But he's not the only son. We're all sons and daughters of God. And I want everyone to clearly understand that where the son and the daughter of the living God is. It's in you. With that being said, since God loves the whole world and he gave us his son, if we believe in him, we'll not perish but have everlasting life. And the whole deal is to not perish. Now, he had me in the book of Jonah. And I began to understand the story of Jonah. Jonah was called to go and literally speak to a nation, a town, a city, a group, however you want to label it in your life, because I'm going to call you all Jonas, okay? You're all Jonas today. And God has a word for you. And because of this so-called plague that is being poured out, okay, that plague was poured out to the city of Nineveh, and that city was wicked, evil, very, very bad. And what he began to start showing me was that he is calling us as he did with Jonah. Now, Jonah was called to tell that city to change the way you're thinking, okay? Now, how he told that city how to change the way they're thinking is a whole different subject, because we really don't know the message that Jonah spoke to the city. But we do know that the city heard what he had to say and that they did change the way they were thinking. And because of that, God had mercy. He had mercy and grace and love on those people. Now, I want you to understand that particular place, mercy and love and grace. So when Jonah got back, he didn't want to do this. He was kind of fed up. He didn't want to go and tell these people, you know, to change the way they're thinking. He was done with them. How many of us felt that way with people in your life? You just like felt like you talked to them and you just felt like, you know what? God doesn't going to do anything with that person. God's not going to try to save that person, whatever it might be. And you just kind of gave a cold shoulder to that and just said, forget about it. How many of those just here in this place felt that way? I know I have. There's still many people in my life that I don't even really want to look at. I'm like, you know what? I don't really care what they do. You know, I don't even think they're going to change the way they're thinking at this point. They have deep roots of, you know, certain ways that they're thinking, and because of these deep roots that they're thinking this way, I don't really think they're ever going to repent. That's just the way it is. So when God started speaking about Jonah and started speaking about calling us all Jonas, he began to start sharing that He called Jonah to tell these people to go and repent, change the way you're thinking. So Jonah fought. Okay? I don't want to fall into the shoes that Jonah fell in. Jonah fell into this place where he didn't really want to tell these people, change the way you're thinking. So if you have ears to hear what I'm trying to say right now, I think God is trying to tell us, or you, those that are listening, to start telling these people, hey, you know what? You better start changing the way you're thinking. If not, God's going to do something. He's going to give you the hand over your head. Has anyone got smacked by God before? You know, all of a sudden you were hoping that everything's going well and everything's going good, and then all of a sudden, crack, you feel like you got the legs taken out from underneath you. Has anyone ever felt that way? Okay, well, I'm going to tell you right now, it isn't that saying, beep happens. You know, that means that God whacked your legs, okay? Things don't happen to us by accident, okay? I always look at God's totally in control of my life, whether you believe that or not, he is. And that no weapons formed against you can prosper, okay? And, you know, how many people understand that, you know, darkness, the devil, you know, evil cannot touch you unless God gives permission to that? Okay, so if anybody thinks they're getting attacked by the devil and God doesn't know it, okay, that's not true, okay? God says, okay, you can because... but don't kill him, you know? Okay, you can whack his legs out from underneath him and make him struggle a little bit, but just don't kill him, you know? And so God is totally in control of those things that are happening in our lives. Well, if you're like me, we get kind of tired of getting our legs kicked from underneath us. And we want to be really obedient in the eyes of God so that this way, you know, he doesn't keep whacking our legs. Let me tell you about the story of Jonah. Jonah didn't want to go tell that city to go repent. He didn't want to tell his friend, change the way you're thinking. He didn't want to go back to those that you gave up on and said, you know, hey, you know, maybe you might think about changing the way you're thinking and, you know, soften your heart, you know, and be careful about certain circumstances. And the main key of where we're going as far as trying to tell people changing the way they're thinking is this spirit, this principality, this thing that is being released, which is hatred and anger. This is where I believe God is trying to tell us to be like Jonah and tell people, don't be so angry. Don't be so full of hatred. How many of us know people just around the corner from us that feel this way? How about just yourself? In certain circumstances that just aren't happening in your life that you want to happen, and you have this anger in you and hatred. You know, I asked Shelly, my wife, is anger and hatred the same? And she's like, I don't think so. I mean, they kind of relate with one another. And I say, yeah, I think you're right. And I believe anger comes first, and then hatred comes second. And we have to be careful about being angry and having hatred. So with that being said, Jonah, okay, he pretty much was angry. He didn't want to deal with these individuals. He didn't want to talk to them. He probably felt that they weren't going to listen anyhow. How many people feel like that? Okay. And so what happened was Jonah decided to run the other way. He decided not to listen to what God was trying to say to his people and say, you know what, I'm going the other way. And he went ahead and ran the other way, got on a ship, and turned around. God sent a storm on that ship. Now, how many people are starting to hear what I'm saying? I don't want a storm in my ship. I don't want a storm in my ship. How many people don't want a storm in their ship? I hope I plant seeds of fear of the Lord in you today and hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us, because I believe that the outcome is a revival. I believe the outcome is a worldwide revival, like one of these last day revival things that are about to hit the earth. But there's many things that we have to go through before they're set free. How many plagues did Moses have to go through through Pharaoh before the Egyptians, the Israelites were free. There was quite a bit until they were finally set free. Well, I feel that's kind of the same thing here happening right now in this hour. But there's a requirement. We're like Jonah. God's calling his people to go start talking and saying, listen, the word of the Lord is, get this anger out of you. Get this hatred out of you. First of all, it's got to start with us first. Okay? I hope we're here today and we don't have anger and we don't have hatred. We have to be like that person that was on the cross, Jesus, and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because there's going to be a lot out there that's just going to cause so much anger in your life that you don't know how to deal with it. There's situations that are happening in your life that you just don't know how to deal with. So whether they're people, places, or things, this anger is going to hit you. Has anyone today, just this last week, had anger for an issue that was really out of your control too? That's even more of an eye-opening, because first of all, we had no control over it, and we're over here with anger. So these things, God is doing these things. God is pouring out these plagues, so to say. Okay? God is pouring out hatred. He's pouring out anger. But at the same time, he's requiring us to show mercy, to show God's love, and to speak to individuals and say, listen, there's a repentance here. And if not, God's going to come by and give you a what? A cross, you know, take your legs out. So let's get back to Jonah. Jonah decided not to listen, and the storm came in the boat. After that, Jonah actually, the people that were around Jonah in the ship, they knew something was up, and they were getting very upset. And they're like, who is the one on this ship that is causing these storms? Because there's no way possible that these storms could hit. Who is it? So they ended up drawing lots, and then Jonah was the one that got the lot. Well, to find out, and I didn't realize this, I thought the crew took Jonah and threw him off. That's how I thought, until I read deeper into it and realized Jonah was the one that said, no, throw me over. And the same time, the people on the ship really didn't want to throw Jonah over because they didn't want to be responsible for his blood on their hands. So it was almost like the ship people were like, we don't want to deal with this because we don't want the blood on our hands. And at the same time, Jonah's like, throw me over. So they wind up throwing him over. So Jonah got thrown over, and then a big fish came and swallowed him up. That's another thing that happened. But the big fish was there to actually save Jonah. Here I thought the big fish was there to destroy Jonah, but the reality was the big fish was there to save him. So there's going to be circumstances in your life that are going to be like that big fish. It might not look like it's saving your life, but it's there really to save your life. So with that being said, we got to take the inconveniences out of our lives. We got to stop basically complaining and murmuring and, you know, grumbling about circumstances in our lives. We need to learn to rejoice and be glad, because when things start to happen in our lives, we don't really quite understand what's going on. And to avoid anger, we need to really understand that God is always working on our best interests. It might not look like anything. It might not look good. It might look like that big fish in Jonah's life. But in the reality of it, God knows what he's doing. So when we have that attitude of rejoicing and fighting that spirit of anger, God's working on our best interests. So what happened was Jonah began to repent in himself, meaning, okay, God, I'll start being obedient, and I'll start telling these people that they need to back off. relax. You got to settle down. You got to get that anger out of you. You know, why are you so angry? Let's work on it. Let's talk about it. And then at the same time, you have to back off on this hatred. You know, why is this hatred? You shouldn't hate. You know, there's too much. Does anyone know what I'm talking about as far as what your personal experiences are? It just seems like you go to the grocery store, you hear a lot of hatred. You turn on the TV, it seems like a lot of hatred. You just, everywhere you go, it's hatred, hatred. It's like, oh my God, why is there so much hatred and anger? So with that being said, the whale, the fish, took Jonah. After Jonah said, okay, God, I'll start telling, you know, I'll be obedient and start telling this nation, these people, my family, whatever it is that's in your life that is causing anger and hatred around you, then I'm going to have to say to these people, stop your hatred, stop your anger. If you keep it up, guess what? God's going to come by and give you some hardship. And I'm sure if you said it this way, I guarantee people will listen to you. If you tell someone, if you keep this up, if you keep this anger up, and if you keep this hatred up, God's going to come by and whack your legs out from underneath you. Something's going to happen if you keep this up. How many people do you think are going to listen to you, if you put it that way? I'm going to tell you, if someone came up to me out of the blue and saw anger and hatred in me and said, hey, if you keep that up, God's going to come by and whack you. And something's going to happen, and you're not going to like it. So you either have a chance right now to stop it, or you're going to watch this happen. Would you change the way you're thinking? Man, I'd be real quick, okay. And I'd be on my face saying, God, do I have anger? Show me where this anger is. Oh, my God, I got to stop. I got to just stop. And I believe that this is what God is saying in this hour right now. Now, Jonah went ahead and went to the city after he got barfed up by the fish, okay? And he went and told the people, and believe it or not, they instantly heard because he said it that way. If not, God's going to send something on you and smack you if you don't. And they heard it. They actually heard it in the whole entire city, town, country, whatever it was, changed the way they were thinking. And they stopped. Now, Jonah wasn't really too happy, and he went back and was moaning and groaning. And, you know, there was a lot of things that took place. But the last words that God spoke was, who are you to be angry? That's what he said. He says, do you think it's right for me to be angry? God said, do you think it's right for me to be angry? So even though that they were out of line, okay, and they were doing things that weren't correct, say, and they were being angry, and they had hatred that was just flowing out of them, God said, do you think it's even right for me to be angry? So God put himself in a position of even humility. He showed mercy, and he showed love, and he healed their land. And I feel at this point right now, God is calling his people to rise up and not show anger, not show hatred towards those that are showing anger or hatred, but to be able to have eyes of mercy and love and be able to point it out to them. How many, if you're like me, like to avoid confrontation? Okay. If I see somebody angry and they're really overly opinionated and I see a war starting, I'll tell you what, I might say a couple of things, but if they're just not backing off, I just don't want to be a part of it. How many are those like that here? I just don't want to be a part of it. There was a saying that was going around a while ago. Why can't we just all get along to agree to disagree? You know, can't we just agree to disagree? I think at that point, the Spirit of God was just trying to bring peace and trying to bring unity at that time. And so he was kind of just letting the Spirit of God work within itself. Can't we just agree to disagree? How many of us heard that saying for a while now? Well, God is saying to this point, it's not working. It's not working. No one is agreeing to disagree. No one is coming to that place of just trying to keep unity. So now I need my voice to go out. I need my voice to go out and save those that are lost, save those that are encamped or trapped in this particular plague. It's nice to know a God who loves us so much that when before he's about to destroy the land, he gives you a second chance. Isn't that nice? I mean, let's be real about it. I mean, it's nice before he's ready to take your legs out and make your day bad, that he gives you an opportunity to make your day good, right? That's what I want. That's the God I want to serve. I want to hear his voice and hear what he's saying. And, you know, God is a loving God. Every time you see that he's about to do something, he always threw up the trumpet. He always blasted the trumpet and gave warning to the land. He always told the people, this is what I'm going to do, and be prepared. Change the way you're thinking so that we always had an opportunity to be saved. Now, how many of us are willing to be like Jonah right now? I would say, let's do it for our own personal life. I don't want the storm affecting my ship, for number one. So if you're listening to me today, those that are over the internet and they're hearing this voice, and maybe you aren't hearing it live and you get a recording, you know, it's the appropriate time that you're hearing this. Begin to make a point in your life to speak out in the sense of love and just warn them. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, the beauty is that God is not asking you to go there and create argument. Just like he didn't ask Jonah to go to the city and argue. What did he ask Jonah to do? He said, just go and speak the message. Say, this is what God is saying, and change the way you're thinking. If not, this is what's going to happen to you in your life. And then he walked away. That was it. Now, how much simpler can that be? Now, the cool thing about it is, I want to test you. I want to challenge you. Yet, I want you to see the glory of God in your life, because you're going to see people that are actually going to change the way they're going to think. You're going to see people that are going to listen to you, and they're going to say, you know what? You're right. I haven't been feeling right. I have this anger in me. I have this hatred towards certain circumstances that are going on. And you know what? I got to stop thinking this way. I got to stop feeling this way. And you're going to see them people going to change. And you know what? You're going to hear testimonies. You're going to hear testimonies saying, wow, I just got a job. Or wow, you know what? I got a promotion. Or can you believe this? This is good. This good thing happened, or that good thing happened. And then you're going to hear this. To those that don't listen to you, you're going to hear this. You're going to hear their hatred still, and you're going to hear their anger still. And when you hear that, you're going to hear, oh, I just lost my job. Oh, I just came up with some kind of sickness or whatever. You're going to hear, and then you're going to say to yourself, oh my God, he's alive. He's real. I truly believe this word is for you to really see God. Because I don't truly believe that with this hour that we're living in right now, we have a level of faith and we have a level of belief. But God wants to strengthen your level of belief and your relationship with him more so than you ever had before. And the reason why is he's doing something that is going to require us to need it. Does that make sense? You see? I don't believe that our relationship needs to continue to be level. Because God is doing something within this hour, something in a magnitude way, He needs to build our faith up, and he needs to build our belief up to be able to see him. When we see God, how do we feel? Don't we feel like he's alive? When you get your prayers answered, don't you feel that he's alive? When your prayers aren't answered, don't we have that feeling of, oh God, where are you at? Are you real? You see? And I truly believe God wants to build ourselves up in a greater way. And the way he's doing it right now is through you, by just sharing. I want to call it the Jonah testimony, the Jonah ministry, the Jonah word. Change the way you're thinking in this area of hatred and anger. And you don't have to argue. You don't have to fight. You can just simply say, I see a lot of anger and I see a lot of hatred in you, and you need to really change the way you're thinking. You can have viewpoints. You can have beliefs. You can, you know, have your opinions. At the same time, the hatred and the anger has to leave. If not, God's going to take your legs out. God's going to do something that's going to cause your day to be like a storm on a ship. God's going to do something. And if you're like me, I want to hear what God's saying. I don't want to have my ship tossed all over the place. I want a nice, easy life. I don't want any conflicts. I want blessings. You know, I want to be able to, you know, continue to live comfortably. How many are like that right now? I mean, I don't want to go through any more storms. So the best thing to do is not only be obedient to the law that is written on your heart, but to be obedient to the prophetic voice that is being out there. Look, can you imagine if Moses was in a position where he's asking for the people to be set free, but yet really wasn't hearing God's voice, and God begins to release plagues and he forgets to put the blood on the doorpost? Can you imagine what would happen? That plague would come and it would hit everybody, right? Which ones were saved? The ones that were obedient to the voice of God. The ones that, you know, caught and heard and was obedient. And the ones that were obedient were the ones that actually were able to be saved. And so if we move forward and continue to move forward in the prophetic word, I want to say, and put ourselves in that position, then we will be able to not only save our own household, but we will be able to save, you know, maybe a loved one, you know? Just like Jonah, he didn't want to, you know, at one point or another, he was like me. Let them burn, you know? Let them burn. But God doesn't want us to be like that. He doesn't want us to be angry. You know, we have people in our lives that you might have given up on. And you might have just said, you know what? Let them live their life the way they want to live it. How many of us have those people in our lives? We just don't want conflict. We don't even want to talk to them. How about we don't even want to talk to them about God? You know, because we've learned in the past that they don't even want to hear anything about it. How many people have those individuals in their life where now you just walk up to them and, you know, you don't, before you told them, oh, you know, God's so wonderful, he did these things, and they're like, whatever, you know, and they weren't connecting with your testimony, and so what they did is you just ended up realizing, well, you know, when I come to that person, I don't share my testimonies. When I come to that person, I don't say anything about God. Oh, when I come to that person, you know, it's just basic conversation. Hi, how you doing? You know, it's all business or what have you. Well, God's saying in this hour, that's not true right now. You know, he's doing something, and I believe he loves everyone. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and then whosoever believes in him shall not perish. And that son is that spirit of God within all of us. And when you have these, God is releasing these plagues, and that plague is hatred and anger, and you have individuals around you that are manifesting, and they're subject to get caught in that, God's given us all a second chance right now to be able to tell that person, not only to tell us in our own lives if we are starting to get angry or we have hatred towards groups, individuals, nations, countries, whatever it might be. How many of us here today alone have somewhat anger or hatred in their own heart towards individuals, countries, nations, cultures, whatever it is? How many here? It's okay to show a hand, you know. I had anger. There's things that I look at and I don't like. I look at this and say, you know, I got a lot of anger. Let them burn. Hatred, how do you level hatred? How do you put a level on hatred? You know, I look at hatred as just slightly loved less. And, you know, some people look at hatred as a real strong manifestation of action, you know, where, rah! But to care for somebody less, like, you know, it's one who doesn't persecute you, you can show love to. But one that does persecute you, can you show them the same love? You know, and if you can't, I look at that as a level of hatred. You know, hatred is a strong thing. And my prayer is that those that are been sent to hear this voice, whether it's on a CD, around the world, or here, they're the ones I pray for. They're the ones that I want to see blessed beyond measure. And if we're not hearing the voice of God by understanding the level of hatred and the level of anger, and we in ourselves as an individual have to grab hold of that and bring it into submission, I want to tell you right now, we all have demons. How many people believe that? We all have demons. It's called a sin nature, okay? And we all have sin. If we say we don't have sin, we're a liar. So if we say we don't have any demons, we're a liar. The only thing different is we overcome them and we put them under our feet. You see what I'm saying? And this is what God wants us to be, overcomers. He wants us to be overcomers of these demons. They're there. It's the sin nature. And if we can rise above them and be masters and put them under our feet so they're not manifesting, they're there, okay? Can I allow anger to rise up? Oh, yeah. I'm easily subject to letting that one rise up. You see? Can I let hatred rise up? Oh, yeah. I can quickly allow that demon to rise up. You see? For me to say I don't have it, I'd be a liar. But I have it under my feet. And what God is saying in this hour right now, I'm doing something. Okay? You don't really have to know the whole mechanics of what God is doing. Believe me, I'm asking him, Lord, what is your purpose of doing this? And to be honest with you, it's revival. That's the coolest thing. It's revival. And God is bringing salvation and a revival to the land. But before this, when do you end up going to the doctor? When the pain gets really bad? When you're like unbearable and you can't get up? Okay? So think about this. In order for God's people, the people that God loves, his mercy and his grace to be released into your life, he has to bring pain first in order for you to cry out. How did every one of you find God? There had to have been a circumstance in your life that caused you pain before you lifted your eyes up and said, I can't do this without you. I need you. Where have you been? If there is a God, show me now. And then what did he do? He took that pain away. He either brought someone in your life or he ended up just comforting your heart or whatever it might have been, but he showed himself in your life. And that's what really made you a believer or someone to have relationship with him. You see? Not everyone takes a trip and gets bleeped up there into the zone and the life is changed. But at the same time, the life was changed. And so I look at us today, and everyone that's in this place and those that are listening, their life has been changed one way or another through a cry. And because of that cry being heard, you established a relationship with God. Well, that's what's happening right now. God's ways are not our ways. And they're far above what we can comprehend or even imagine. And I don't even question what God is doing in my life anymore. And because of that, he has his total ways. And I submit to him. Right now, God's doing something. I'm here to tell you that God is pouring out something right now. I'm going to say it's a good thing, and it's also a bad thing. Now, for us to hear the word and apply the word and be ministers of the word, we're going to save ourselves. No calamity is going to come on our lives. No, you can't ignore, and I'm going to say this boldly, you cannot ignore those that are around you who are carrying anger and hatred without telling them to change the way they're thinking right now. So if you have any individuals that are around you, or if it's yourself, okay, you need to change the way you're thinking. You need to stop the anger, you need to stop the hatred, and then you need to tell that individual, stop the anger or stop the hatred. If not, God's going to take your legs out. What I mean by bring a storm to your ship. How that storm's coming to your ship, I don't know. Only God knows what's going to take you out, right? But this is his word. I mean, this is not a bad word. This is a good word. This is a good word for yourself to change the way you're thinking so that you can be blessed. And it's also a good word for those that are manifesting this plague to give them a chance for salvation and save their life. How many people understand what I'm saying? And by us being obedient, not getting in arguments, God's not saying, you know, pointing out someone saying, hey, you're angry, and they say, no, I'm not. And you get, yes, you are. No, I'm not. Oh, yes, you are. You have hatred. No, I don't. Yes, you do. God's not asking you to do any of that. He's just saying, listen, this is what I see. How many people can see? How many people can see someone with anger? How many people can see somebody with hatred? Okay, so you simply say, listen, you know, don't hit me. I'm going to say something and you might not like it. Don't hit me, but if you listen to me, guess what? You're going to be blessed. There's a blessing coming to you. There is a blessing coming to you. There's a blessing coming to me? Yeah, there's a blessing coming to you. Really? What do I got to do? You got to take anger out of your life. You got to take hatred out of your life. What do you mean? If you take hatred and anger out of your life, guess what? You're going to be blessed. I'm going to tell you, you're going to be blessed. But if you continue to keep this hatred and anger in your life, guess what? Something's going to happen. You're not going to like it. You're going to have your storm come in your ship, and it's going to rock your boat. You're not going to like it. How many of us right now have some anger and hatred in our lives? Listen, it could be a little bit or it could be a lot. You could be bitter. You can have a lot of bitterness. That's a form of anger. You might not like the way things are happening. You're not here by accident. You're here because God's love and his mercy wants to set you free. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you a life. He wants to prosper you and give you a good future. He wants you to be free. You know, a lot of us might be bound feeling like we're in prison, feeling like we're in chains, feeling like we're never getting our breakthrough, feeling like we've been crying out to a lead ceiling. God's not hearing our prayers. You know, is there really a God? He don't exist because I'm keep hitting a lead ceiling. I tell you right now, the reason is because of the word this hour. Anger and hatred is the main root that is causing your prayers not to be heard. It's causing you to stay in bondage and being chained up. It's causing your future to be on hold. God is doing something, but yet he wants to show his mercy and his love, and the only way that he can do it is if we repent. Now, I never looked at my life the way I did. When I heard this word, and I heard what God was saying in this hour, I really never thought I had anger until I looked deeper. And then I said to myself, oh my God, I didn't realize how much anger I had. And then I started looking at myself. And then I started looking at the hatred that I have in my life. And then I said to myself, wow, I have to have hatred, because if I look at this person and I kind of don't want to deal with this person, obviously there must be some hatred in my life, because I just don't want to deal. Here I thought I just didn't want to get into a confrontation, or I just didn't want, and you know, I knew I was going to be facing an argument because I can't even talk to this individual, you know? Then I realized I have hatred. Now here's another word that the Lord began to share with me. If you can't put this thing under your feet, then you need to cut it off. You can't have it in front of you. You can't see it every day. Whether it's coming through different sources or whatever, you got to change the station. You got to change the station in your life. You got to walk away from the individuals, or walk away from the groups, or walk away from it, whatever it is, because you don't have the strength to heal your own land. This is very important, because there are times where I say I can't walk away. And it might even be something very important in your life. It might be a big decision in your life that you might have to do. And some of these challenges are hard. But God says, are you going to love me? Are you going to love me, or are you going to love man? Are you going to love me? Are you going to be a lover of me so that I can save your soul, that I can be with you for an eternity? Are you going to love me? And you know, when God started to speak this to my own heart, I know there was a lot of things that were hard for me to walk away because of anger and hatred. And I said, Lord, I want to love you with all my heart, soul, and mind. I want to show you that I love you with all my heart, soul, and mind. Then I had to begin to start taking a very powerful decision in my life. I had to begin to start really saying to myself, do I really love you or do I not? I had to begin to start saying to myself, Lord, give me the strength to love you. Because it is hard when you have to make these decisions. It is hard when you have to face circumstances in your life that every time you turn around, it seems like you're getting a jab. And it's causing you to be annoyed. It's causing you to be angry. Sometimes we have to voice ourselves. Sometimes we have to, try to do something to heal that land. But God is really true in this hour. He's not playing games. And I take God's word very serious. And those that are hearing me, I hope and pray that you take this voice serious, because it's a saving of our own soul. He wants to prosper us, and he wants our future to come unfolded. He wants to fill us with our dreams and our hopes and our ambitions. And, he wants to fill the desires of our heart. But at the same time, he's a father. And anytime we're out of line, what does a father do? He disciplines us. He has a way of punishing us, or scolding us, or disciplining us. And we can't deny that truth. And if we don't obey and heed what the Father is saying, then what do we expect? To get rewarded for doing something that God says, get out of your life? I mean, I want to be real. This is not how you build a church. You know, if I wanted to build a church, I would tell you, you're all blessed and you don't have to listen to the word of God. Just kind of like live your life and, you know, ignore those and just agree to disagree. But that's not what God is saying. And I need to be obedient to him, not about building a church. Some people may leave and say, you know what? I don't want to have to do it. I don't want to have to hear it. And then because you don't want to have to do it or have to hear it, then all of a sudden your legs are taken out from underneath you, and I don't want you to come back and me say, I told you so. You know, I hear all these hardships and problems, and can you please pray for me? And it's like, well, did you repent? Did you heed the word? You didn't listen to the word, so because you didn't listen to the word, what do you want me to do? Go to God and say, give me another chance? I mean, how many times do you want me to go to God for you and tell you, you know, God, please give this person another chance. Can you give them another chance? Can you give them, stop being so hard on this person, please, God. You know, give them another chance. And God is saying, listen, they're not listening to the word. They're not changing the way they're thinking. They're not honoring salvation. We all have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Let's not forget about the fear and the trembling. You know, you have to ask yourself, why are we not getting our breakthrough? Why is it not? Why are these things being held up in our lives? And you think it's just because God doesn't want to give you the desires of your heart? You think because you're just on a standstill, you know? There's something in our life. And I truly believe by heeding the voice of this ministry and understanding what God is doing in this hour, and we humbly say, okay, Lord, I'm going to hear your voice and obey your commandment. And his word today is anger and hatred. Get it out of your life. Get it out of your life. Look deep and get it out of your life. And then speak to those that are around you. If you see anger and hatred in an individual, you tell them about God. You tell them. It's almost as if we have a job to do. And he wants us to confront those that aren't repenting. This is a Jonah word. Those that might have not come in from the beginning and you came in towards the middle of this message. This is a Jonah word. And the word is saying, go to Nineveh. And Nineveh is those people around you, whether it's towns, cities, families, individuals, whatever it might be, workforce, whatever. And tell them if you see it. And everybody said yes, they can see anger and hatred, right, in an individual? Can you see it? Okay, if you can see it, guess what? God showed it to you. And now you have a simple obligation to do it. Hey, listen, I love you. I would say approach them this way. I love you, and I feel that God has a blessing for you. Would you like to have God bless you? You know what they're going to say? Yeah, yeah. Or they might say, ah, there is no God. And this is an opportunity to minister to them. Say, well, you know, there is a God. And God is saying this. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you a blessing. Would you deny a blessing if someone gave you a winning lottery? Would you refuse it? And then hit them with the haymaker. I see anger and I see hatred. And you know what? God is saying if you don't repent and cast this stuff out of you, then there's going to be a judgment on you. He's going to judge you. He's going to put your ship and make it rock in a storm. But if you repent, you're going to receive this blessing. How many want that blessing in your own life? I want it. Now, this is a live, living word. And if you don't listen to it, guess what? Judgment's going to come on our lives. It's just the way it is. And you know what? Sometimes I feel like saying to you, don't listen. and watch what happens. And then don't come back to me. But I will say, if God starts to whack your legs, you know, and you got that storm in your ship, hey, I'm going to tell you right now, this is the God we serve. He's loving and very full of mercy. You remember this word and you repent. I'm going to tell you right now, that storm will stop. Just like they threw Jonah off the ship, what happened? The storm stopped. Okay? I look at Jonah as hatred and anger. And they threw him right off the ship, and the storm stopped. You throw hatred and anger out of your ship, I'm going to tell you right now, the storm will stop. Amen? Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Because of time, I'm going to end the service. But take this word serious in your own life. God is doing something in this hour. And if you look through Scripture, God spoke to the prophets, He spoke to the apostles, and He said, this is what I'm doing, and tell the people. And He said, if they do this, I will save their land. If they don't, then I'm going to destroy their land. Okay? And then we saw God was real. Those that repented, they were saved. Those that didn't ended up getting destroyed. So I want us to take this word serious. I think Sam has something to say. He's going to close us. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for Sam.
Be real quick. The Lord told Jonah to go to Nineveh. He went to Nineveh in the way that he had to get there. And he said he went to the king. He told the king what God said. And the king called a fast into all the land. And that fast delivered them. You know, you don't think you have anger. It's like Pastor always says, lose your keys. Lose your purse. Be late for a meeting. Watch how you manifest. We all deal with anger. When's the last time you actually fasted? Any of us. It doesn't have to be food. It could be food. It could be whatever you're led to fast with. But a fast is very important. It's a sacrifice that you show to God. And He honors it in a great way. So because Jonah went to Nineveh, he went to the king. The king said, this man's a man of God. The whole city's going to fast, whether you like it or not. And the whole city fasted, and he delivered them. You know, every one of us goes through mountains and goes through valleys. And, you know, a lot of us are in a valley right now. And, you know, but the miracle is God's with us. He's with you in the valley.
Before Sam's finished, how many noticed my bald head? Okay. Believe it or not, Sam's speaking true. He called us a fast. God spoke to my heart, and He told me, shave your head and go into a fast. And that's what happened. I was obedient. I even said to the Lord, but Lord, I'm not done yet. I want to put like braids in it and wear some braids for a while. And so He says, no, shave your head and go into a fast. Right now, we're approaching a 40-day fast. If it's on your heart to fast for what God is doing in this hour, join me. Now, I'm not asking you to shave your head. I'm not asking you to do radical stuff. Listen, fasts come in many, many ways. Ask God how He lays it on your heart how to fast. It might be not spending any money. It may be, you know, taking out ice cream out of your diet. It might be, you know, something in the sense of, you know, not watching TV or whatever it might be. Whatever it is, join me. I'm talking 40 days. Now, that's a lot. Okay? And God is moving on my heart in many different ways on how to fast on this. And this fast has started with just slightly taking food out of my life. And, you know, you can't just go directly into a fast or you'll just pass out. That's the way our bodies are. But slowly depleting. But one of them was to shave my head. And it's a humble experience. I'm going to tell you right now, this is the first I've ever had my hair this short.
I shaved it.
He shaved it.
Best day of my life.
And, you know, it's humbling. It's humbling. But at the same time, who am I here to please? Am I here to please my Lord and Savior? You know, I've made a big leap in my life, and I think it's going on, what, another year, maybe, full-time in ministry. And I've given my life totally into his hands. And, you know, he's really refining me. He's refining me in a lot of areas. And I hope that I can be an example of a lover of God, someone that you can say, that man loves God.